Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Are you bombarded with ads every time you go online? Do some of them seem uncannily as if someone's been watching over your shoulder? Is there any force within the advertising industry working to protect the consumer and keep things in check? You and I can be relieved to know that the answer is yes. It is the IAB, or Interactive Advertising Bureau. They join with other advertising associations, who of course have their codes of ethics, to improve the industry on many fronts. Michael Theodore is with us today to tell you about an exciting new initiative of IAB, where he serves as VP of Training and Development. Like many digital immigrants, Michael started out his career in traditional media with a 15-year stint in local and network television news and radio. After graduating with an MBA from Harvard, he worked as a management consultant in Arthur D. Little's media and entertainment practice. That led to his introduction to the internet, which he served as both as senior management positions with industry trade associations, including the New York News Bureau, the New York New Media Association, Connecticut Technology Council, and the IAB, or the Interactive Advertising Bureau, where he is currently VP of Training and Development and is responsible for the Digital Media Sales Certification Program and Professional Development Workshops. We're delighted that Mr. Theodore has made time to share this with you today. Michael, welcome to the Social Network Show.
Thanks very much, Dr. J. Pleasure to be here.
Michael, thank you so much. And I'd like to just mention Becca Euless, who really was the catalyst to get us to this point when she interviewed me for the IAB Longtail Alliance, which I'm really grateful for. So thank you. Welcome. And I hope this is the beginning of a long, prosperous journey with you.
I hope so as well.
Well, as head of training and development, your focus is, of course, on education. Can you tell us something about how IAB has recently expanded efforts to enhance professionalism in advertising and the industry as a whole?
Sure. We recognize that salespeople probably don't have the greatest amount of regard in our society, probably somewhere in between Congress and the presidency and journalists, probably. So we really wanted to make some effort to improve the reputation of ad salespeople. I think a lot of people, even people who are in the industry, think that digital sales is probably the easiest thing in the world. Certainly, you look at the analog counterparts of selling a newspaper ad or selling a radio spot. Seems a pretty simple thing to do. You've got a 30-second spot in radio or TV. What could be so difficult about selling that? It's surprisingly complicated and getting more complex all the time. There's really quite a bit of technology to understand and to be able to explain to the agency or the marketer. And so the IAB, over the course of its 16, 17 years of existence, has been responsible for creating a number of the technical standards in advertising, and we thought that it made sense to try to aggregate all that knowledge and make sure that we're creating something of a level playing field among salespeople so that they all have that same amount of knowledge and we thought that we would go a step further in creating an examination which would assess the level of knowledge and skills that people in our industry have, and to be able to provide a certification. And this is a real credential. We're in the process of being accredited by a national standards body that equivalent to what people who take the Series 7 in financial consulting go through. So it's a very rigorous examination, and we hope that it will lead to a more professional sales force, and one that is recognized as a badge of approval that the people who earn their credential really do know their stuff.
Excellent. And of course, that credentialing is so much a part of building professionalism in any field, mainly to one of the fundamental reasons, of course, is to protect the public and let them know who knows their stuff, for sure. And so with the Education Foundation, what have you and how have you gone about identifying the most pressing situations in need of improvement, you might say? Of course, you've already mentioned one, the public image of salespeople in digital. But what other needs have you found that, and how did you determine this?
Well, there's really two major issues that that affect our industry and really affect everyone, whether they are involved in our industry or not. I mean, obviously, everyone is involved in our industry in that everybody consumes digital content. The days of a smartphone being considered a discretionary item, those days are long gone, and it's become pretty much of a must-have, just as a television is. We've determined that there's two really big problems. One is there is a shocking lack of diversity in the interactive space. If you look at certainly the large public companies, Google, Facebook, LinkedIn, Yahoo. This spring, they all came out with reports that showed their gender and racial components among their workforce, and they were very disappointing. Very, very large numbers of white males, low numbers of women in many positions, and when you include categories like people of color, much, much lower. Two other areas that were not in the accounted for or disclosed were veterans and the disabled, mm-hmm. Two groups that we feel really do need to have representation, and they are extremely low as well. This is a problem that's been going on in advertising agencies for a very long time, and certainly has been going on in the workforce as a whole, that certain industries are really there's real underrepresentation, but mm-hmm. it's particularly bad in our industry.
Well, that is a double problem, really, in the sense that it's a problem in itself as far as opportunity is concerned for people of all sorts. But also, if you're advertising, you really need to have an eye and understanding of what the whole population is looking for. Don't you think?
Right. And as the population of the United States moves towards a much, much more diverse population in terms of racial composition, ethnicity, etc., it would make sense that the folks who work for a company ought to reflect who their customers are. Mm-hmm. And also, it just it happens to be the fact that if you look at, as an example, the people that use social media, African Americans and Hispanics really over-index in social media. In other words, the number of users of social media or the amount of time that they're spending on social media is far greater than their simple representation as a percentage of the American population would expect. And so if you've got even more minorities who are making use of social media, and yet you have an under composition of those same constituencies in the workforce, that's a problem.
You're right.
And it's a problem that really needs to be addressed.
There's a something peculiar about that, I think, because as an instructor here at University of Nevada, Las Vegas, my students have a very inclusive attitude, and it's one of the most diverse universities in the country. But these, of course, are students getting their college education, so as to, you know, how representative they are of the whole generation, I couldn't say. But it's peculiar, because at this time, it seems to me a great desire for diversity amongst that age group. And so what are your purpose then, as part of the education foundation of IAB, is to really try to do something about that. So how are you planning to affect that situation?
Sure. And, you know, I'd say that there's probably not a single industry that you could point to and say, oh, they've solved it. You know, this is an industry where they are completely colorblind, where every type of race, all genders, completely no bias whatsoever. I've been trying to find such an industry that we could point to, that we could learn from, and quite frankly, haven't found one.
So there are no benchmarks.
So certainly there have been many efforts over the years to solve this problem, and despite the best of intentions, I don't feel that any have been all that successful. So, as I mentioned, or as you mentioned originally, there's actually two problems that we looked at. And if I can address that second problem for a moment, I think I can answer your question. The other huge challenge that our industry is facing is that there is a very, very large skills gap. And a lot of people have talked about the skills gap in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. We haven't been graduating nearly enough people in those areas for quite some time. The number of girls who take up any of those majors in college is distressingly low. Ditto with different racial groups. And as digital advertising and media becomes more of a technologically driven type of industry, those skills are very important. And yet we find no one comes out of school prepared to start work at a digital company, in part because there is not a single college, a single program being taught in any institute of higher education anywhere in the United States that would prepare people for an entry-level job at a at a digital advertising technology kind of business. And I'm astonished by that. When I'm on the subway, and I'm in New York, and I take the subway all the time, and I see placards on the subway for community colleges and for vocational institutes,
mm-hmm.
and the skills that they are advertising for, the training that they are promoting, are things like arc welding, auto repair, computer repair. Well, I don't know too many people who even bother getting their computers repaired any longer. And certainly, arc welding and auto repair are important businesses to trades to learn. But where's the internet? Where are the digital skills?
That is a good question. And let's talk more about that in the second half of today's show. And we'll carry on with Michael Theodore from the Interactive Advertising Bureau. I'm Jane Karwoski, and you're listening to The Social Network Show.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
As internet technology advances, so does the threat of cybercrime. And the instant you go online, you become vulnerable to dangers such as identity theft, computer viruses, phishing, spyware, and more. In times like these, we must all protect ourselves from cybercrime. Antivirus software, firewalls, and security patches are just the beginning. Never open suspicious emails, only navigate to trusted sites, and change your passwords every 90 days. Back up important files to external storage devices. Tell anyone who uses your computer to be vigilant when downloading from the internet. Keep your kids safe on the internet. Teach them never to give out personal information or post information about their school or extracurricular activities. Installing parental control software and monitoring their computer are all good ways to prevent cybercrime. To learn more about cybercrime, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show, where Jim Nico and I are chatting with Michael Theodore of the Interactive Advertising Bureau. So you are talking about the lack of training. I have seen even master's degrees being offered in social media. But how is this not what's going to help the situation? Is that a totally different thing, or can you explain
yes,
that?
Yes, it tends to be more marketing. There's a lot of digital marketing classes that are being offered. So it's people who are you think about a company like Facebook. There's a lot of people who are doing product development or marketing the services. As I had mentioned before, digital advertising has become so complex. There's an entire infrastructure. It's the plumbing that makes it all work, that makes that ad magically appear on your computer screen or on your smartphone screen, and there's an army of people that are needed to make that all happen. On any given year, there's probably 10 to 15 to 20,000 people who are being hired just to make to make the ads appear. It sounds so silly to think that, well, how, you know, advertising, the ads seem so simple. The banner ads, who's clicking on them anyway? Well, people do click on them, and it's that economy, it's that business that makes it possible for a Facebook to be offered to consumers free of charge, and for all the content, all the things that you read or listen to, view online, it all happens because of advertising. And if the advertising doesn't have enough people to just make it work, then that threatens the growth of the whole industry. And quite frankly, our economy seems to be a lot better now than it was a few years ago, it's still fragile. It's still vulnerable.
Definitely.
And the digital economy, the digital industry, is something that is very much responsible for being one of the engines of growth. It creates jobs, and it accounts for a significant amount now of the U.S. GDP.
What would you say would be the ideal preparation for it? I mean, it's very exciting to hear you say there's jobs that, you know, people are seeking to fill. And so to equip oneself to meet that need and get a job in digital advertising, you mentioned in Education Foundation material online that developing curriculum is one thing. Now, does that go into filling this need, explaining what people need to know or need to study?
We think so. We are creating, we've just begun creating some partnerships with the City University of New York, CUNY, as a partner in developing an apprenticeship program in digital ad operations. We've also partnered with a terrific nonprofit by the name of Year Up, which is a nationwide program in about a dozen cities that works with economically disadvantaged young adults, 18 to 24, helps them with training, hard skills, and the kinds of digital skills we're talking about, they're now going to be training for, and helps people with soft skills as well. But we think that when people are given a chance to learn these skills, and the community college or a less than 4-year program is ideal to learn these skills. It's not something that is going to take a full 4 years to learn. Certainly, we believe that people can learn these skills sufficiently in less than a year's time so that they're able to begin work, entry-level work, and these jobs pay much, much better than a fast food job. These mm-hmm. jobs pay extremely well. The IAB Education Foundation is developing certification exams to make sure that people who've undergone this training have learned enough that they can then become good full-time employees at the companies like Google and AOL and Facebook. So to just sort of close the circle here, the kinds of people who go to community college or the people who are in programs like Year Up, it's almost a matter of certainty that you're going to end up with a very, very different racial and ethnic composition. Mm-hmm. You're going to end up with a much more diverse group of people. And so by trying to solve the workforce problem, by closing the skills gap, we think we also will be able to take a very major step towards increasing diversity in the companies.
That's amazing, because a lot of, and it's I think it's absolutely brilliant, and the timing is perfect, because a lot of people, as we know, and you're implying this, is that they don't even have the money, some of these people, to go further, but they can actually get a very good paying trade that's cutting edge, modern, ready to go. In a year of training at a community college, that is wonderful news. We're so glad to promote this. We're so glad you're here telling us this.
Well, there's a great confluence of trends that we've seen as a result of the economic collapse of 2008. Everyone knows now that students are graduating from four-year colleges with a greater amount of debt than ever before. And that amount of debt represents a real drag on the economy. It really does imperil the economic system, just as mortgages were back in 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
So we've got to do something so that people don't incur that kind of debt. And obviously a two-year community college program, students who go through that are going to come or are going to be able to graduate with a lot less debt than they would in a four-year college. The other thing that we're seeing is that parents are no longer willing to foot the bill for a four-year liberal arts education if their son or daughter doesn't have a really good idea of what they're being trained to do when they get out of college.
Or a marketable skill at the end of that, you know.
Exactly, exactly. And so colleges, four-year colleges in this country have always been reluctant to train people for a job. They don't see themselves in that role.
But
for the first time, colleges, and particularly community colleges, are now in a position where they really have to be catering to the needs of the market. And the market is saying, help us get a job.
Mm-hmm. That is wonderful thoughts, and I'm really glad to hear about that. Just a couple minutes left here, and I started out the show with some concerns consumers have about advertising, particularly the behavioral marketing. Can you tell us what that is and what stage it is at in developing?
Sure. Behavioral advertising is on the one hand, it is referring to a very complex technology. On the other hand, it's something as basic as you receive catalogs based upon your shopping at a store, buying a product, and so if you bought something at J. Crew, there's a good chance that you like J. Crew products. And so without you even signing up for it, in the past, you received a J. Crew catalog.
Mm-hmm.
That's behavioral advertising. It's simply a way of making sure that the advertising is not wasted on people who don't care about a particular product. So online, it has become much more refined, and I know many people find this hard to believe, that marketers can be sending your email address, can be sending something, obviously anything that's being sent to your email address, they know who you are. But a simple banner ad that appears on a page of content that you're looking at, the marketers do not know who you are. They don't know that it's Dr. J who's looking. They might have certain hints. They may know that you are a woman. They may know that you're 30 to 35 years old. Wasn't that nice of me to say that?
They certainly got that right.
But you know, they don't really, and they know these things about you because they know what websites you've been to, or they know that you were shopping on a particular site, and then you abandoned the shopping cart. You were going to buy some sportswear, and at the last second you thought, I think I'll do that later. Well, they know that that particular computer was about to make a purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So for the next several days, you're going to be seeing ads for sportswear wherever you go, because they know that you were interested in that. And quite frankly, wouldn't you rather see an ad about something that you're interested in than something that you have no interest in whatsoever?
So you're going to be seeing the ads one way or another.
I think
it's the feeling of Big Brother. So,
and, well, there's a way to opt out, and this is why I want people to know that whenever they are looking at an ad, if they are tired of seeing that one particular ad,
mm-hmm.
all they need to do is click on the ad. Chances are they're going to see a little blue triangle and the words ad choices.
Mm-hmm.
If they click on that, it will take them to a website, and that website will let them opt out of targeted advertising, either for that particular ad, that particular website, or all advertising, all targeted advertising. They're still going to see ads. That's the nature of how we're able to provide content to people for free. But if they feel that they do not want to be followed around the internet, this is a way that they can opt out of that type of behavioral advertising.
And the IAB is looking at other methods, too, is it not, in terms of refining the whole advertising issue and process to know, for instance, the difference between an impression and viewable?
We are constantly trying to refine and review how advertisers are buying and paying for advertising. You know, I think most people don't realize that when they see an ad on a website, that ad, the ad that the person sees was created, was chosen for that person on the fly. And in fact, sometimes advertisers are bidding for the right to show an ad adjacent to that piece of content that you're viewing to you. And all this is happening. There's like an auction going on that's taking place in microseconds.
And so that's the complexity.
It is becoming infinitely more complex, but also more refined, so that you're really seeing what you care about.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today on the Social Network Show. That's Michael. We really appreciate finding out, especially about the partnership with Year Up and the City University of New York for training people for jobs that actually exist.
Well, we're very glad to be a part of your show, Dr. J., and to let people know about the great opportunities that there are in this industry. We think that with a little luck and a lot of money, we're going to be able to train thousands of people in the years to come.
Well, we'll definitely keep in touch and find out how it's going. And thank you for keeping us company today on the Social Network Show, where you hear commentary and analysis of our connected, networked world. Please follow us on Twitter at Social Net Show and LinkedIn, where Jim Nico frequently publishes. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us via questions at thesocialnetworkstation.com. Please have fun and be safe, online and off, until we welcome you here again.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. Coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on the Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.